The gates to the Rose Garden are now open. Welcome to my world. You are listening to Talk That Talk with Danielle Moneyham, a reflective conversation where I share the lessons I've learned on this journey called life. I don't have all the answers, but I do have plenty of questions. My name is Danielle Moneyham, and this is my love letter to the world, where I let my soul speak. Let's talk. Hello, friends. The gates to the Rose Garden are open, and this week I am being petty with a purpose. For those who don't know, I spent the last year building a nonprofit organization with my cousin Brooke. We founded Black Educators Matter in order to create an ecosystem for Black educators globally. Through engagement, Brooke is our community builder, and storytelling, I am the interviewer of the people. We will document our stories in order to build long-lasting, affirming, unapologetically Black relationships rooted in celebrating educators. Join the movement. If you know any Black educators who are willing to share their story, send them our way. Our goal is to share the stories of 500 Black educators with this project. You can check us out at www.blackeducatorsmatter.org. You can follow us on Instagram at blackeducators.matter. And you can join our Patreon. Search us as Black Educators Matter on Patreon. One of the really cool ways Brooke and I get to collaborate is through our monthly Founders Podcast, which is available exclusively to our Patreon members. In the spirit of Halloween, and as a throwback to Brooke's first cameo on Talk That Danny G, remember that? Hashtag I ain't scared of no ghost. I'm excited to share our October Black Educators Matter founder episode with you. I present to you the Fairy Lock Mothers.
Remember, make excellent. Remember, make excellence equitable and thank a Black teacher today. Remember, make excellence equitable and thank a Black teacher today.
Welcome to Black Educators Matter, the Founders episode. Hello, Brooke.
Hey.
How are you doing on this lovely October evening?
I'm fantastic.
Why are you so fantastic?
Because I'm alive. Amen.
Amen and hallelujah. Well, I'm fantastic because October has my favorite holiday ever.
What's that?
There are so many wonderful days in October, but I'm talking about Halloween.
Whoa.
Was that your Halloween
my evil laugh, my evil Halloween laugh.
Every year since at least like 2010, Brooke and I have celebrated Halloween with lovely costumes and parties and all kind of Halloween adventures across this country, because we took our show on the road.
We absolutely did. Vegas.
Yeah, we would create our own costumes.
Like, create. Not like, you know, like, jazz up a costume. Like, legit, like, bedazzled bras and gluing feathers.
What has been your favorite Halloween costume, if you can remember and pick one?
My favorite Halloween costume would either be, well, it's top three. It was when I was, y'all remember that game, Candyland? Mm-hmm. It was the princess, I can't remember her name now, I guess I'm getting old.
The lollipop?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Princess Lollipop. I was her one year, and then another year I was a ladybug. That's probably like my favorite one. When we got together and did the Housewives.
Oh.
Yeah, we killed that. Literally.
No pun intended, Killer Housewives of Calumet. That was an amazing Halloween party that we had. And 5 years ago today, we sent out the invitations because my Instagram told me.
Oh, word?
That was the post 5 years ago today.
That's funny.
I remember all of your costumes, but the ladybug costume stands out to me because when we were in Vegas, you met your ladybug soulmate. You remember?
Oh, I did. It was a man that was dressed up as a ladybug. It was pretty awesome.
Yes, that was so cool.
I think my favorite episodes, hello podcast, my favorite Halloween costumes, one was in Vegas when you were the ladybug and I was the swan. I absolutely love that costume. But more than a costume, it was more of me putting on my cape was in 2018 when you took me to Vegas for my surprise bachelorette party, and I was the Queen of Hearts. I still have that costume, the tutu, the cape, and the bedazzled bralette in my closet, and I'm just waiting on an opportunity to wear it again.
Oh, my God.
So, I love Halloween, but although this Halloween is a little bit different because COVID, I would love to suggest a Halloween costume for the two of us.
What you got thinking? What you thinking over there?
I'm thinking that we can be fairy lock mothers for Halloween.
I'm with it. Let's do it.
Tell us about your lock journey.
So mine isn't as pleasant as one would think. And my sister's probably gonna kill me when she hears me tell this story. But I was forced into my lock journey. I don't know if you all remember the hairstyle, and I'm specifically talking to the women. Some of y'all men might recognize it because y'all either wore it or, you know, y'all had girls that did. But
lady friends that wore it.
Yeah, lady friends. The edges were individually braided because you all remember when micros were, like, just popping. So this is how long ago that was. My edges were individually micro, but the middle was sewn in. So to the naked eye, like, it just looked like I had a head full of micros, but I didn't because the middle was kind of interweaved.
It was crochet before crochet was crochet.
Yep, absolutely. You're absolutely right about that. So what ended up happening is my sister underestimated the length of my hair.
Bald head.
Yeah, I know, right? So she didn't braid past my actual hair, and she put glue on my edges. So when I got ready to remove it, of course, you know, ladies, you can identify with this. You cut where the glue is. I cut where the glue is, and by the time I took down my hair, I looked like Joe Dirt. I had a legit, like, mohawk. And when I asked my sister about it, y'all know this so-and-so told me, so what you want me to do about it? So, of course, I did what, you know, and to be fair, I had been wrestling with locking my hair for some time. One of my aunts who passed away from breast cancer, it ended up being a tribute to her, but just sooner than I had initially planned. But I do not regret the decision. And I'd do it all over again. Probably not that way, because I definitely would want to start with longer locks. I'm telling you, like, that is not for the weak. Being bald head that long, it does something to your confidence. And you know how important your hair can be to you men and women. Both of you all can relate to that. But Danny, tell us about your lock journey.
My lock journey is kind of like Brooks, but a little bit different. I started my locks, I think, a year after you started yours. So I knew that I wanted locks, but I wasn't sure when I would be able to do it for a few reasons. One, I was like, I can't afford it. That's not necessarily true if you know how to maintain and take care of your own hair, but that comes along with the journey. And then two, I was more concerned with my career, because I remembered in college, people were, when I first cut my hair off and went natural, people were talking about how unprofessional natural hairstyles were. So I always said I would lock my hair after I started my career. So fast forward to 2012, I had just started a new job in July. It seemed like it was going to be, it was a kickoff to my career. I was the operations coordinator for a national nonprofit. So I was feeling really good. I was settled in my career, well, at least starting it. And we were out playing softball on Labor Day.
Oh, I remember that. Good time.
Good times. We were out playing softball on Labor Day, and your girl, D-Money, was up to bat. So I'm ready. I'm about to knock it out the park, do what I do. You know, I'm a track star, Morgan Park High School. I'm an athlete. I do this. I got to show these people up. It's a young man on first base. I don't know this fella. He's tall. Do you remember how big he was? Like, he was a thick'em.
Obviously, he's pretty sizable, yes, man.
I mean, you know, probably played football in his younger days. So he on first base trying to relive his glory days. I'm like, all right, I'm going to hit this ball, and I'm coming. I hit the ball. I'm running. Track stop. Running towards first base. Do you think he moved out of the way? Because I can tell you, he didn't. But do you think I moved out of the way? Because I could tell you, I didn't. So we collided. I ran into him, ended up in the dirt, in the dust, rolling around on first base. I believe I was safe. I had to be. But by the time I got up, there was so much dirt and dust from the little softball field in my afro, in my poof, that I was like, okay, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to just wash my hair. So I went home and washed my hair. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. And by that time, Brooke spoke about like having longer locks or starting with longer locks. My poof was sizable. I had major shrinkage. If anybody is natural hair, you know what that means. I had major shrinkage, especially in Chicago. But when I stretched my bangs, they went below my chin. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to just go ahead, lock my hair. I got a little bit of length. Because the part of the story that Brooke left out was how, so we learned about her origin story with starting her locks, but we didn't learn about that first year.
It was a hot mess. I wore a wig, y'all.
Why did you wear a wig?
Because I told you, like, when you're used to having long hair, don't get me wrong, like, I was never, like, Rapunzel, but, you know, I had, like, a decent length. So for me to go to, you know, shoulder length hair to like not that. It was an adjustment, you know, on my self-confidence. Like, I wore really big earrings all the time, just, you know, just trying to adjust to my new look. Wore makeup, and I'm not even that girl. So it was definitely an adjustment.
So I was trying to learn from Brooke's lesson. I'm like, you know what? My hair is longer. I should be able to go in and get some two-strand twists or get some comb twists to start my locks. Well, I went to a loctician who said he is not going to lock hair that is longer. He's only going to start them with palm rolls, the finger coils. So I then went to a barber, got my hair cut off, and then the next day went and started my lock journey. And Brooke is very right. It is something different when you had one hairstyle or you are used to yourself with a certain look. And now you get this new hairstyle and this new look. And it's a look that you are going to be with for a minute because your hair is going to grow at the rate your hair grows. Your hair is going to lock at the rate your hair locks, and there's nothing you can do speed up the process. So I remember I had my little bald head, small head, and I went home and I took that picture. I was such a handsome fella that night in the mirror, but I was dedicated. And here we are all these years later. We both have long locks, some of our locks longer than others.
Mine are definitely longer than yours.
Brooke's hair is longer than mine, but it's fine. The beauty of it, though, is that we went through this lock journey. We had to go through all those different phases of locking our hair. And as we were accepting ourselves at these different phases, the world accepts us at different phases. People make all kind of assumptions about you, your personality, your sexuality, your religion, where you're from because of your hair. Have you found, Brooke, that as your hair has grown, and you work in healthcare, mm-hmm. Have you found that anybody has ever talked to you or referred to your hair at all?
Absolutely. I used to have coworkers ask me all the time, oh, when are you going to comb your braids out? When are you going to take your braids down? And I'm like, no, baby girl, like, this is permanent. Like, or for as long as I decide to have them, it's not that simple. Like, you just can't undo it really quick. So, of course, with all the questions, there was always an opportunity to learn the importance of locks and how it teaches you patience. And, because they weren't like myself, they had all the questions. And for the most part, I answered them.
My locks, I think, have been a really great conversation starter, especially when I was working in schools and working with the youth. Because whenever I would see boys, black boys that have locks, I would instantly be like, hey, I love your hair. Mm. And what that did to them and just how their faces would change, and to receive a compliment from a stranger, an adult, and then to be something like connected to their hair, it really landed well with the boys. And then even with the girls, I think it was an opportunity for them to see an adult professional woman with locks. Mm-hmm. Like, you can have your natural hair, you can have your nappy hair, whatever style it is. It doesn't have to be locks. It can be starter locks, locks all the way to your butt. It can be a teeny weeny afro. It can be whatever your hairstyle is, and it is beautiful. And you are beautiful enough to rock it in its authentic state if that's what you choose to do. But all of our school policies are not as friendly and as open and as accepting for black students, black staff, black people, especially when it comes to hair. Did you hear about that situation that happened in Jamaica?
I did, and it was a shame. It was a crying shame. It was a young lady who she went the first day of school, right? And she had her hair locked, and they pretty much like denied her entry into the school. But because of the greatness and I think both of her parents were locked. Yeah, both of her parents were locked. So like, it makes sense. But even if it didn't, and because of the greatness of social media, like Jamaica, they ended up feeling the brunt or the disdain of the public, and they ended up letting the young lady, you know, back in school. But it's like, she shouldn't have even had to go through that at such a young age. She was only 7 years old, or, you know, is only 7 years old.
So to have a Supreme Court ruling about your hair at seven and your access to education, that is crazy.
Yeah, I can't even imagine, because we wore some crazy hairstyles when we were younger. So I can't even, like, you know, you think about when we were younger, how I know specifically in Catholic schools, men couldn't wear braids, like legit, like they had to have fades. And it's like, but what if that's against your religion or, you know, whatever, and you just want to grow your hair? Like, you can't unapologetically be yourself without someone trying to, you know, put you into their mold. And at such a young age, like, you know, that just goes to show you where we're headed. Like, they're trying to control you from birth dang near.
And even talking about control, like controlling your hair and your expression, what does it do to your self-esteem? Because I remember a few years ago, there was a post that was going viral, shout out to social media, where I feel like it was Steve Harvey was involved, and it was something about boys cutting off their locks as they were getting accepted to schools or something. Like, these boys were cutting their hair, and it was like a, yay, you ready to step into, like, professionalism.
Really? Oh, I'm yes. glad I didn't see that.
Let me see if I could Google. But, like, what does that even do to kids when their hair, as it grows out of their head, is attacked and is made to seem like it is bad? Like, what does that do to your self-esteem, and how can you grow to authentically love who you are when society and trusted people in society have been telling you, like, no, your hair is bad and wrong, fix it?
Yeah. I think, you know, seeing more people like yourself, like, I've never, until I got older, saw a lot of people with locks. And, you know, we're from the Midwest, so where it was a thing, like in Florida or some parts of Georgia and Tennessee, like in Chicago, it probably started catching on, really. Oh man, I never even heard of that story before. it started catching on, like, maybe like 15, 20 years ago, and here we are in, you know, 2020. And I remember a young lady I went to grammar school with, she had them in third grade. And I just thought she was, like, magical, you know. And she wore her hair and, you know, like, regular hairstyles. Like, she used to wear pigtails and bangs. And I remember when I saw her later in life, she cut off, you know, her hair. But just to be that young and have that decision and no one judge you. And, you know, I'll tell everybody, I went to a black school, like super black, like administration was black, like all the kids was black. I want to say probably like 98% black and the rest was, you know, white and Hispanic. But, you know, fortunately for me, I was in a position where, you know, we were constantly taught self-love, but I can't say that, you know, for everyone else in their journey through the education system. And unfortunately, we've seen the bad side of that, especially recently.
Recently, with this Jamaica ruling, but this anti-blackness goes back very, very far. Since the beginning. So I just found the article that I was, a response to what I was referencing on the Black Youth Project. There's an article called "Cutting Our Hair Won't Guarantee Success, but Ending White Supremacy Will." So in 2016, educator and television personality Dr. Steve Perry came under fire for suggesting that young black people, specifically young black men, cutting their dreads, braids, and, quote, unkempt frosh, end quote, might garner them greater professional and social success. Social media went in on them.
I know they did.
Yes.
They should've.
It was 220, quote, fatherless male youths aged 13 to 18 were invited to a mentoring camp hosted by the Steve Harvey Mentoring Program for Young Men. And they were showing these young boys.
Wait a minute, because I'm sorry to cut you off, because here it is, Steve Harvey for the longest wore a toupee. So he don't even have the, like, what they say, if it's one thing men got is the audacity. So you mean to tell me that this man had the audacity to tell folks how to wear their hair when he wouldn't even wear his own natural hair? Okay, Steve.
Okay, Steve. Steve Harvey and Steve Perry. But that one of them was an educator. One of them is an entertainer. You know, you're going to do whatever you got to do. But one of them was an educator, and he believed this. So even when we talk about representation and showing up authentically and having an affirming relationship with kids, this was a black man telling young black men that in order to be successful, you need to cut your hair.
Yeah, that's not right.
That's not right at all. And it just goes to talk about, like, the ingrained white supremacy culture that some of us have also, we got to do work to unlearn. Mm-hmm. We've been miseducated in so many ways that we have to go back and do what we can to unlearn some of those biases and self-hating moments, telling black kids to cut their hair off. So that's why I suggested that we be fairy lock mothers for Halloween, because there are lots of people all ages that are really curious about locking their hair, but they don't know where to start.
All the time.
What are some of the questions that people ask you?
Who started your locks? Where do you go? And that's one thing, like, I don't play about my head. I've probably had about 8 different locticians. The one I'm with now, I love her to death. Shout out to Kendris. But, yeah, like, if I'm, like, not pleased with how you're treating me, my head, and my time, like, I find elsewhere to go. So, you know, that's another thing. Like, having locks definitely teaches you patience, if anything else.
Definitely teach you patience. It definitely, for me, is always a lesson in leadership. But I say this to anybody with natural hair. If you're trying to get your hair to hold a specific style, you got rituals, products, and processes that you need to do in order for that hairstyle to last. And if you do something incorrectly, your hair will tell you. Ask any person who's ever tried to style a Bantu knot twist out before picture day.
Oh.
Like, there's a process and products to all of this. So we are here. If anybody has questions about locks, if anybody has questions about natural hair, if there are kids who need to see examples of positive adult images with locks, encouraging them on their hair journey, Brooke and I are here for you.
Yeah, we're here.
Happy October. Happy Halloween. October. And especially as we are doing everything we can to protect our peace as we are living through these
unprecedented,
no precedent times.
Amen.
Do everything you can to love yourself, love your hair, love your journey, and lift other Black people up, because this world is really trying to put us down. And anytime that we stand up and say that we matter, people will say that that's a political movement, and they will try to do everything they can to
discredit it.
But we are all that we got. So when it comes to hair, when it comes to celebrating Black educators, when it comes to being unapologetically Black, we here for it.
All right, we'll catch y'all later.
Fairy Lock Mothers out.
All right, superstars, we are all out of time. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you love the show, make sure to subscribe, share, review the episodes, tag a friend, talk to me. Visit DanielleMoneyham.com and follow me on social media to stay connected. Your support means the world to me, so thank you for helping my dreams come true. A major lesson that I learned, that I continue to learn, is that although you will experience dark moments in your journey, you can be the light. You have more power than you know. Until we meet again, shine bright.